Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship today. I think it's 10:30 sharp, so I got to keep cracking here, but want to welcome you to our time of worship together. The warmest of welcomes here to Resurrection Lutheran here in Franklin, North Carolina. And I wanted to just take a few moments before we get started today to take a look at your announcements on the back of your worship folder. If you would please turn to that, and you'll see that there are a number of announcements, but specifically today, there is a fundraiser for the youth after church downstairs. It's the Valentine candy sale and lunch. You can see the prices there, so come on down and support the youth. I will say that we are initially discussing some opportunities for the youth here, hopefully in the coming year. So we appreciate your support as we look to plan for some of these opportunities for our youth. Also, we continue with our morning Bible class, and Pastor John continues with his on Tuesdays. You'll see that noted, and we invite you to participate in either one of those. We also, I'm still taking volunteers who might like to help with music, worship, and technology. It's not that daunting. So if you think you're being nudged in that direction, I've had a couple of folks come to me, and I'm excited about those areas. We're hoping to live stream our services, hopefully, at some point. So that's part of the technology part. So that way we'll be able to kind of broadcast maybe to folks who can't always make it for one reason or another. So as well as other folks who aren't members. Are there any other announcements? We want to continue to support CareNet. The basket is in the back, the buggy, so make sure you place your donations there. Are there any other announcements for the church family that I'm missing or need to clarify at this time? I always feel like I'm missing something. Very well, then. Your service order is in your worship folder. It's all here. We'll follow it along this morning. And at this time, then, I invite you to meditate quietly as we prepare for worship and listen to the prelude. Thank you. I invite the congregation to stand as you're able. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation may stand. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we give you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Children, this is our sermon time together. I invite you forward for it.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Good. All right. Glad to hear that. Today I'm going to do, well, first of all, I was going to ask you, what do you like to put salt on?
Rice.
Rice?
Everything.
Everything?
I love French fries.
French fries? Would popcorn taste very good without salt? I mean, I think that's one of my favorites is popcorn. Yeah.
Doesn't taste
that yummy without salt. Well, today our gospel lesson talks about us being the salt of the earth, meaning that I know that seems amazing because it makes how you flavor your actions. And if you know that Jesus is your Lord, they say that that is salt. I'm going to take a little bit different aspect on this. Now,
salt comes from the sea.
Salt comes from the sea. That's right. What does that mean?
We're the tiny salt.
We are the salt. Meaning that we're the ones that flavor everything. Meaning that depending on how you act, okay? Okay. Anyway, I have a box of salt here. And would you open up your hands, or one hand? Brady? One. Yeah, okay. I'm just going to, well, actually, I'm not going to do that. That would be too much. I happen to have a little salt shaker. That makes a lot more difference. All right. Just one hand.
Oh my.
All right. I have a washcloth for you to do. A little salt there. You got a little. No, you don't want any. Yes. Okay. That's all right. Okay. Now, in this hand, I have a salt substitute. Has anybody ever tasted this before? Well, I did this morning, and it's not yummy. All right, see what you think about that. Okay, here. How about here? JC said, that's disgusting. All right. The point of this is that Jesus has made us the salt of the earth. Now, some of us, just a second, some of us think, well, if we're good or we take care of other people, we'll be saved and go to heaven. But there is also sometimes people who don't believe in Jesus, and they think that they're the salt of the earth, but they're really using like a salt substitute. It's not real salt. And that means that they just don't have Jesus in their heart. So when you do kind things to people, you show them how much Jesus loves you, they will know that you are the salt of the earth. Now, I've got a washcloth to get rid of all that. What do you think, Brady? Doesn't taste that bad, but it's not as good as salt, is it?
Yeah. But I love salt. It's like one of those things. I know what I know.
Okay, what were you going to say?
All the bad salt is
Okay, and if you didn't have salt, would everything kind of taste bland? I mean, just not as good. Okay. Well, let's remember that Jesus loves us, and he has made us the salt of the earth to share with his love with other people. Let's say our prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and making us the salt of the earth. Please bless us this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody know this little gospel light of mine? Nah. This little gospel light of mine. Y'all know this little gospel? All right, let's try one verse, because that's part of the other part of the gospel, is being a light. Ready? This little gospel light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine. All right, we're just gonna do one verse. All right, and nice to see you, Kara. Nice to see you. All right, you may go back. Thank you.
Our first lesson today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 3 through 9. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with wicked fists. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." Here ends the first lesson. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. But if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart these in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing the Alleluia in verse.
The words of eternal life.
Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of these, least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We speak together a summary of Christian faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated.
Thank you.
sinners doth receive.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the message is this week's gospel reading from St. Matthew chapter 5. And it follows the Beatitudes at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount. We looked at the Beatitudes last week. And as you remember, Jesus is preaching to those who are identified as his disciples. And there's debate, again, as I mentioned last week, to recall there is some debate as to exactly who his disciples are in this passage. Does he refer to the apostles, or does he refer to any follower of Jesus at that time? And the suggestion is perhaps it's both. Nevertheless, though, although many may hear what he is teaching, not all will listen and apply his teaching. So his teachings are for those who follow him. It is for his people of every time and place. It is for you and me, his holy Christian church. Imagine that. Imagine that. You are salt and light. Think of yourself as a little granule of salt. It's sprinkled about. Think of you as the flashlight that illuminates the darkness when you're searching for your keys. You are salt and light. But, hold on just a moment, Pastor. I don't understand something. If this is true, why does Jesus end his teaching in a most curious way? Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, if Jesus had told us not to be like the scribes and the Pharisees, that would make sense, right? We don't want to be like them. Don't be like those works righteous fellows who wrongly believe that in all their good works and their chest beating and puffing out would somehow earn God's grace and favor. We understand that. That's simple. It's straightforward. That's easy to understand. And most importantly, that seems to align with what other parts of the Bible tell us, right? We're saved by grace through faith, not because of our works, lest anyone should boast. And yet, that's not what Jesus says here, is it? In fact, it seems like just the opposite. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God, of heaven. This seems clear to me. And it seems like we've encountered one of those contradictions in the Bible that people like to point out who don't believe and follow Jesus. Yep, there it is. See, he says one thing here, now he's saying something over here. Unless you out-righteous, you hear me? The best religious leaders of the day, the very pillars of society, the pinnacles of what it means to be good and holy, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm not sure about you, but that's a big, big problem. That is a big, big problem. We could look around in society today and think of people who in our minds are pretty righteous. And even someone like that, who's very generous, who's always giving away, who's always helping other people. Not even that person could compete with the scribes and the Pharisees when it comes to righteousness or good works and right living. Who might someone like that be? Let's see, Oprah Winfrey used to give away cars, I think, on her show to everybody who attended. What, is Bill Gates pretty philanthropic out there giving away? Not even those folks hold a candle to what we're talking about. So what's going on here? What is Jesus teaching? What hope do you and I have if Jesus is telling us to outshine, to outrighteous these scribes and Pharisees? I'm confused. Either you're saved by grace through faith, or you're saved because of your works. Is this what's happening here? And we're asking, which one is it, Jesus? What are you teaching us? Believe it or not, the message is simple today. And I want to start with the fact that no one is saved by their own works. From the fall in the Garden of Eden until the end of time, humankind is saved through faith in God's grace. You see, that's it. There's never been a time in history that people earned or merited salvation by works. And if that were the case, then God wouldn't have had to send His only begotten Son, Jesus, in the first place to take our place. But He did. Jesus gave up all of heaven's majesty and glory in order to redeem us, to pay the wage of our sin. He did what no man could do. He fulfilled the law perfectly in every way. And more than that, He took your place, my place in suffering. All of God's wrath, righteous wrath and judgment, He took our guilt upon His shoulders. He shed His blood. He laid down His life as a perfect and all-redeeming substitute for us. For you, took your place. He paid your wages of sin, all of that in full. It is finished once and for all. He got what we justly deserved. Because of His all-atoning death and resurrection, we get what we don't deserve. Grace, mercy, and peace. All of which is attained through the gift of faith. Faith alone. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. When you look at this equation, it's fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. All our sin credited to Jesus. All of His righteousness, in turn, credited to me by grace and grace alone. You see, brothers and sisters of Resurrection Lutheran Church, this is the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It's Christ's perfect righteousness. It's a righteousness that is not and cannot be earned. It's perfect, all-availing righteousness, graciously gifted to us by God's grace and mercy. And we see this unconditional and unmerited gifting of righteousness and grace here at the baptismal font. We see it here today as we approach His table. And God comes to us with His grace and His mercy. Keep in mind, we are called to do good works. You see, the law is written on our hearts. But when we understand that in light of being justified by Christ, there aren't prescriptions for salvation. I'm not going to give you a list that if you do this, check. If you do this, check, 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 check. Here's your prescription for salvation. Have a nice day. Nope, I'm not going to do that. But rather, our works are descriptions of the grace we've received in Christ as those who are saved by His perfect actions for us. You see, God-pleasing righteous works are not something that can be prescribed or commanded. You better. Although that's fun to do, isn't it? Better. Yeah. It's no different than any fruit tree that you would just say, bear good fruit. It'll either bear good fruit or bad fruit. You see, God's righteous works can be observed and witnessed and praised just like a good fruit tree bears good fruit. You see, the joy of your justification bears good and God-pleasing fruit. And these are fruits that are witnessed in your daily workings and daily living. You see, you are different, not in order to be saved, but out of the joy in Christ that you are saved. And in this respect, even the smallest, most meager work is great and good and righteous and God-pleasing in His sight. Not because it's earth-shattering or noteworthy, but solely because it is a work that humbly and gratefully flows forth from Christ's perfect righteousness through you and me to others. You see, that's the gift as we come to the altar that we bring. It's not a gift of works or deeds. It's as if, well, God, if I do this, you'll do that. And we hear a lot of that. Sadly, we hear a lot of that. If you do this, then God does that. As though somehow I scratch your back, you scratch mine. No. No. You see, our gift to God is our praise and thanksgiving for what He has done to us in His Son, Jesus. There are parts of the liturgy. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. See, we come to the altar in thanksgiving for all that Christ has done and continues to do for us. We come to receive Him and to render thanks and praise to Him. And this sacrifice of thanksgiving, it isn't just for us to come and gather this morning, although it is meet and right for us to do that. As we properly understand this, our works are really nothing more than thankful responses to the righteousness shown to us in Christ and because of Christ. You see, that's living the sanctified, righteous, good works you see daily performed, sanctified by God's grace in His grace. We are faithful citizens of on this side of heaven. And out of the joy that only comes from God, we are justified in Christ And you see, that's this righteousness of which Jesus speaks. It's not about prescriptions or doing better or trying harder or reaching back inside of you. Oh, I've got a little bit left. I can really heave it. I can make it. No, no, you won't hear that from me. You're going to hear how God, through Christ, has come to you and declared you righteous. And you're going to hear a description of the baptismal reality that you have as His children and as you go about living each day. See, you've been made alive and set free from the bondage of sin, death, and the devil, from the death sentence of law, not because of anything that you have done to deserve it, but solely because of Jesus Christ and His all-atoning death and resurrection. You are one whom God loved so much that He willingly sent His Son, one and only Son, to suffer and die for you. And so your righteousness, He has given His righteousness to you. It is yours because He took our sin upon Himself and He paid the wages in full in His holy lifeblood on the cross. It's this good news. It's this good news. The baptismal righteousness that takes root, it springs up and it bears these God-pleasing fruits in our lives. For those who hear and hold fast in faith. Jesus said, "You are salt. You are light. It is not your work, but mine." God grant this righteousness to you. A sanctified righteousness that naturally bears good and God-pleasing fruit. In light of and in response to, through joyful thanksgiving to your faith alone in God's grace alone. Because of Christ's all-availing righteousness alone. Thanks be to God, and in His name and to His glory, amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Invite the congregation to stand as we continue with the prayer of the church on page 8 of your worship folder. I invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin where we have names of folks whom we're lifting up today in prayer by name. And then there'll be a time during our time of prayer where you might lift up someone silently from your hearts and minds. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you delight to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the straps of the heavy yoke that freed from sin's bondage. We may gladly receive your blessings. Preserve us from the lie that you are a cruel oppressor and give us thankful hearts to rejoice that you are the giver of all good gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, preserve your church by your life-giving word. Open the lips of pastors, declare your just decrees, and store them up in the hearts of your people, that we may delight in your promises and abound in good works. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give wisdom and courage to parents as they teach their children your ways. Make our homes havens of peace in a quarrelsome, self-seeking world. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you declare that a young man may keep his way pure by guarding it according to your word. Protect children and youth against the siren calls of the devil, the world, and their own sinful nature. Grant delight in your testimonies as much as in all riches. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, according to your wisdom, you establish rulers of this age for a time. We pray for a president, governor, and all those who are placed in authority that they may fulfill their duties with wisdom. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father calls healing to spring up speedily for the sake of your Son. Have mercy upon those who suffer afflictions of sin in mind and body. We especially lift up today Pam and Dorothy and Eleanor, Les, Sue, Mike, Carl, Steve, Tom, Jackie, Mike, Francine, Glenn, and Susan. We lift up our Great Beginnings preschool staff and families and pray for continued safety, good health as we minister to families whom we serve. Bless and keep keep the staff that works with those children. We pray for our missionaries and churches, Alan, Lindsay, and Josie, Pastor Josu, and members of Grace Lutheran. We pray for all service personnel, first responders, law enforcement, fire. We especially pray for Ryan, Andy, as they serve in the armed forces. Lord, hear us now as we lift up to you silently those who are on our hearts and minds during our time of prayer. Where you permit trial to remain, preserve your people in faith until the day when your light breaks forth like the dawn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Lord, we pray that you send forth comfort and peace to Dorothy, Stephan, and family upon the passing of her son, Will. May your presence strengthen her, Lord, during these times of mourning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. O God, in Christ, your righteousness goes before us, and your glory is our rear guard. Answer our pleas for mercy this day in the gift of Christ's body and blood, and prepare all those who commune to receive him worthily and joyfully. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord God, heavenly Father, send forth your Holy Spirit that delivered from the spirit of this world, we may hold fast in faith to what you freely give us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we prepare to receive the offering, I remind you all that you may place it in the plate in an narthex as you enter and exit the building, and they may also be mailed to our church office. I invite the congregation to remain standing as the offering is presented.
Render to the Lord all his benefits to me. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the Lord of salvation, and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you. Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundations of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord,
trusting in His promises, we pray together as our Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
Congregation may be seated. Just a reminder, if you receive the individual cup, once you have consumed that, please hold the empty cup in your hand as the common cup comes around. I'll know who to commune. Thank you. You may be seated.
I'll just do the host like normal. It's okay for me to do the host.
This is the blood of Christ.
Congregation, please stand. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We continue with hymn 856, O Christ Who Called the Twelve.
Thank you.
be to God.